Hello there. My name is Cheryl, and you are listening to the Jedi Fangirl Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Jedi Fangirl Podcast. If you're joining us, well, if you're joining me for the first time and not familiar, this series, I'm going to be discussing each of the 11 live-action Star Wars films. I'm doing one each week. Started with The Phantom Menace because we are going in chronological order. And this is my third week. So today we will be talking about Revenge of the Sith. This has the potential to be a very long one. I'm not sure how it will go, but there's a lot to unpack here, and I have a lot of notes on this movie. So we'll have a lot to talk about. We'll see what happens. Also, at the end of the podcast, I will have a little bit of Star Wars news. I always kind of talk about what's going on in the galaxy this week, so we'll talk about that again here at the end, but let's go ahead and get started and talk about Revenge of the Sith. Okay. Today we are talking about Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. This is the third Star Wars movie chronologically. It comes after Episodes 1 and 2. This one came out in 2005. All three of the prequels were separated by 3 years. This was also another one written and directed by George Lucas. Episodes 1 through 6 were all written and directed by him. So again, this is one of the prequels, and you've got people who really only acknowledge the original Star Wars trilogy. They don't like prequels, so this gets lumped in there with that as well. Lately, though, I have noticed just kind of taking part in the Star Wars fandom, especially on Twitter, there's been a resurgence of love for Revenge of the Sith. It's interesting. There's actually a lot of people out there that really, really like this movie. And I definitely like it as well. This is one of the prequels, and to me, it's the best one. I think to most people, it's probably the best out of the three prequels. But I've mentioned it before that the prequels came out for me at a time when I had really gotten into Star Wars. I had kind of discovered the original trilogy. I didn't discover them. I mean, I knew about them, but I didn't really watch them and get into them until I was a teenager. And so the prequels came at the perfect time for me. And that's part of the reason I love them. It was just the right timing, and they were the new Star Wars. It was, you know, to get these new stories about movies that had been out for quite a while, and we get to see a new part of the story was really exciting. So that's one reason I just love them so much. The timeline of this movie. So this takes place 3 years after Attack of the Clones. So it's 3 years later. It's after the Clone Wars, which the Clone Wars is an animated TV series. I've talked about it a lot on the podcast so far, but it takes place between Episodes 2 and 3. So Episode 2, we find out about the clones. At the end of the movie, the Clone Wars kind of start, and then the TV series. There's so much that happens. Again, I highly advocate watching them because there's just a lot that happens there. And I'm going to talk about them a little bit more in the podcast as well. But there's been some news, which I'll go into this again more, but we're going to get another season of the Clone Wars. And we've always said the Clone Wars takes place between Episodes 2 and 3, which it does. But that last season, we're getting a new season next month, and it's Season 7. It will be the final season of the Clone Wars. And judging by the trailer that we just got this week, that again, I'll talk more about here in a little bit, But judging by the trailer for it, it overlaps a little bit with episode 3, which is interesting because then I feel like we'll kind of get to see some more story of episode 3 that wasn't included, which should be interesting. So a lot happens in Clone Wars, definitely a good thing to watch. I'm still trying to work my way through it. I have a hard time just sitting down and watching these episodes in order for whatever reason, but I like the stories that are in the series. So what I do is I kind of go out and find out, you know, about a story that happens in the Clone Wars. And then I go out and I'm like, hey, what episodes is this in? And I go out and I watch those episodes, and it's easy to do that. And you still learn a lot, and it's still easy to get into the Clone Wars that way. So what do I like about Revenge of the Sith? Because there is a lot. So I have said before, if you are into Star Wars and you do not read the books or watch Clone Wars or watch Rebels, then you are missing out on pieces of the story. The characters in this movie, I'm going to go through a whole list of characters in Revenge of the Sith, and pretty much all of these characters are added to by reading the books and watching Clone Wars, because you learn so much more about them. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Count Dooku. He is in episode 2. He is in episode 3. So he is also in the Clone Wars. He's kind of a big part of the Clone Wars. He's involved in the war. But we really only see his part of episodes 2 and 3 in the movies. And he's one of the villains. He's the lightsaber fight in episode 2. He is in the beginning of episode 3. So if you've seen the movie, obviously, if you probably wouldn't be listening to this if you haven't, but the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, Count Dooku has captured Palpatine, the Chancellor, and Obi-Wan and Anakin have been sent to track him down and rescue the Chancellor, which is what happens. And there's some things that I'm curious about. So since we know that Clone Wars sounds like it's going to, the final season is going to overlap with episode 3, will we get to see how Palpatine was captured by Count Dooku? Happened right before the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. So it's possible. I would love to see that. I think that would be interesting to kind of see how that happened, because we don't really know. And what was the end plan? Because what happens is the Jedi have come to rescue Palpatine, and Obi-Wan's kind of knocked out. Anakin's there with Palpatine and Dooku, and Anakin fights Dooku, and he gets to this place where he's holding Dooku's lightsaber, and he's holding his own lightsaber, and he's got them crossed. And he's right in front of Dooku, and Dooku is on his knees. And it's kind of this big epic scene. And the Chancellor is like, do it. And he wants him to kill him. He's dangerous. And you can see the wheels turning in Anakin's head. And you can see the conflict there. You can see him going in his head. He knows he's not supposed to do this. He knows that the Dooku needs to go back and stand trial for what he's done. And he knows that he shouldn't kill him because he doesn't have to at this point. He can capture him. And the Emperor, or the Chancellor at this point, says, you know, he's too dangerous to be left alive. And so Anakin makes that decision. He makes that choice. And he slices the lightsabers and slices his head off. And you can tell that Dooku didn't know that this was going to happen. He's like, what the heck? And so that makes me wonder, what was the plan? Like, how did he think this was going to end? I mean, obviously, he was not completely aware of Palpatine's plans. Palpatine knew that it would get to this point. This is what he wanted. He wanted Anakin to get closer and closer to the dark side. And this was definitely one more step in that direction. And that's the beginning of the movie. So you see Anakin kind of make that decision and make that choice. And he can choose to do the right thing, or he can choose to take one more step towards the dark side, and that's what he does. Great way to start the movie. So Dooku is another character. There's a lot more about him. He used to be a Jedi. His backstory, there's just so much in the books. So the books and the Clone Wars, definitely worth watching to find out more about Count Dooku. Also, one other character, General Grievous. He was an interesting character. He was kind of the leader of the droid armies for the Separatists. You know, I've never really been that big of a fan of General Grievous. I know there's people that think he is a super interesting character, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know. To me, he was kind of a one-dimensional villain. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just haven't seen enough about him, but that's always kind of been my thought. He's kind of mostly a machine. Not all completely, but I do think his collection of lightsabers is fabulous. He's obviously been collecting them from Jedi for a while, so he has quite a collection, and he's got plenty of arms to use all of them with, so there you go. Another character, we've got Padme. This is an interesting one. Obviously, we know Padme is Luke and Leia's mother. We find out at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith that she is pregnant with the twins. Something interesting. So with this trailer that was released this week with the Clone Wars, we got to see there is a scene in there where Anakin and Padme are together looking at each other. And, well, they're kind of together. She is actually, she's not there. She is a hologram and he's really there. But they can see each other. And if you see her, it is very obvious in that scene in the trailer for Clone Wars that she is pregnant, which is interesting because you would think in that scene that Anakin can obviously see that too, but she doesn't look as pregnant as she does at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. And it seems like he knows that she's pregnant at that point. So it's kind of like, what's the timeline with that? Because in Revenge of the Sith, we find out almost at the very, very beginning of the movie that she's pregnant and she is telling him at that point. That's when he first finds out too. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen there. I mean, I'm not sure what the timeline is regarding this final season of Clone Wars versus Revenge of the Sith. But yeah, so Padme is a great character as well. I just finished another one of the novels. It's called Queen's Shadow, and it is all about, was not as good to me as Master and Apprentice, which I also just finished recently, but it is all about Padme, and it takes place after she was queen, so after Phantom Menace, but before Attack of the Clones, so before she kind of hooks back up with Anakin and before she gets involved with Anakin. It's before that. So it's after her place as queen, but of Naboo, but it's before Attack of the Clones. And the most interesting thing in that book to me was how it really went in depth in talking about the handmaidens. And you get to see how big of a role they played as her handmaidens, not only while she was queen, but also after that, when she became a senator. That's kind of what the book covers, is her becoming a senator and her first, you know, little time period while she was a senator. And you get to see some of that. And it's got a lot of cool stuff in there about her handmaidens. And you find out all of their names and you kind of find out what roles they played in serving her. And it's really cool. I got a lot out of it. The story to me, I don't know. It was more about seeing the handmaidens and the role that they played and kind of what happened to her in that time period. But I didn't feel like the story was super fleshed out. I don't know. But it was still really good and I really enjoyed reading it. And I know there's another one coming out called Queen's Peril by the same author that I think is a prequel to Queen's Shadow. So I'm very interested in reading it as well, because I think that would be some more story that I would like to find out about Padme. So anyway, let's see. Obi-Wan, obviously. Obi-Wan is always a great character. In this movie, again, you guys know I've talked about it before, the relationship between Anakin and Obi-Wan, I just find fascinating. And Obi-Wan in this movie, obviously, is very conflicted about Anakin. In reading Master and Apprentice, again, you kind of see how Obi-Wan is this kind of play by the book kind of good guy, and he wants to do what the Jedi Council wants, but he also has Anakin as his Padawan, and he sees Anakin's power, and he sees how the Jedi Council almost kind of shuns Anakin. Like, I don't know, they've kind of done that from the beginning. They almost didn't want to train him. They just don't seem to, they don't want to let him. I think they feel like he is just this spark. Like, he is just this spark that could turn into a fire. And I mean, obviously that's what happens. So, you know, they're not wrong, but I think they also kind of approach things in the wrong way. And so that brings me on to the next character. I wrote it down as a character, but it's multiple characters, but the whole Jedi Council, Mace Windu, Yoda, Obi-Wan is on the council. Qui-Gon is obviously died at the end of Phantom Menace, but he could have been on the council. And that's one thing you find out by reading Master and Apprentice. He was actually invited to be on the Jedi Council, and he turned it down after a lot of thought because he just didn't feel like it was the right place for him at the time. But he could have been on the council. And the Jedi Council, I feel like, made a lot of mistakes. I think they had good intentions. I think they wanted to be peacekeepers, but I think they kind of got off track. There is a lot of talk about that in the Clone Wars, like the Jedi Council or the Jedi were supposed to be peacekeepers, but yet here they are very heavily involved in the war. And are they really, is that what they're really doing? Are they really being peacekeepers, or are they warriors? And it's kind of a fine line. It's an interesting thing to think about. I do feel like they were definitely wrong about some things. I think they should have handled Anakin differently. And this is where we get into this theory that I have where, so when Qui-Gon found Anakin, he was convinced that he was the Chosen One. And Qui-Gon had some history with reading the prophecies, and he kind of was familiar. And so he got this idea and this feeling that Anakin was the Chosen One. And I do think that he was. And the prophecy, of course, says that he would bring balance to the Force. And I've always been really curious about exactly what that means, because Obi-Wan mentions at the end of Revenge of the Sith that, you know, you were supposed to destroy the Sith, not join them. You were the Chosen One, Anakin. You were supposed to bring balance to the Force. But does bringing balance to the Force really mean destroying the Sith? To me, and I think I've kind of said this before, but to me, the bring balance to the Force concept, I feel like the Jedi Council had this wrong, and they tried to keep feelings out of it because, you know, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to, you know, that whole thing. And I think that was the wrong way to go. I feel like bringing balance to the Force means realizing that Jedi are people. People have emotions. You can't stop that. And it's not about stopping it. It's not about giving into it or not giving into it. It's about having a balance with it. When you get those emotions, when you have those emotions, what do you do with them? And making the right choices, including our emotions. So they have this whole rule that Jedi can't have relationships, essentially. There's love, and, you know, Jedi aren't supposed to feel love or whatever. But why not? I mean, that's the balance. Anakin was the Chosen One. He was bringing balance to the Force. He was trying to achieve that. He had these feelings for Padme, and he was trying to make the right decision about them. He was trying to be a Jedi while still feeling love. And that's the balance. There should be a way to handle that, because I mean, Jedi have feelings too. Even another thing in the Clone Wars, and if you haven't watched that, then you may not be aware of this, but Obi-Wan had someone that he was in love with as well. And you know what? I'm just going to leave it at that, because if you have watched the Clone Wars, you know exactly who I'm talking about. If you haven't and you didn't know about this, then hopefully maybe you'll go out there and you'll do a search on it and maybe end up watching Clone Wars and you'll know what I'm talking about. But yeah, there was somebody that Obi-Wan was in love with as well. So if you don't know, go Google it. Find out what I'm talking about. But so that's kind of my thoughts on what, you know, the bring balance to the Force thing and what it could have meant. And I feel like the Jedi Council, while they were right about the Chancellor, because they kind of had their doubts about him, I still think that they handled things wrong. And I think they handled things wrong where Anakin was concerned. Anakin had been told from a child when he was brought into the Jedi that he was the chosen one. And he has these feelings that he struggles with. He's been told he's the chosen one. He's very powerful. Obi-Wan knew that. And he goes in and there's this scene where he talks to Padme and he's like, I feel lost. And instead of doubting him and not making him a master, which maybe he shouldn't have been a master yet, but I mean, I feel like they could have worked with him better. Like he felt lost and he was just frustrated. And I feel like there's a lot of decisions that could have been made differently. But I feel like he didn't feel like he was acknowledged. He didn't know what to do with these feelings and he didn't have anybody to go to about it except for the Chancellor. And that's who listened to him. And that played right into Palpatine's plan. So ultimately, to me, the Jedi Council, if they had done things a lot differently, then maybe we'd be in a different place. Guys, I get way too into this, but anyway. All right, so other characters in Revenge of the Sith. So the droids, C-3PO and R2-D2, are at the end of the movie, you get C-3PO, they were told to have his brain wiped. So everything that's happened to him up until till this point when Anakin created him is wiped. He's gone. So that's why when we see him in A New Hope, he, you know, doesn't have any knowledge of this before. But R2-D2 did not have his brain wiped. So that's interesting because that makes you think that R2 knew what was going on throughout all the rest of these movies, which is kind of a cool thought. So yes, we have our droids. We have one who doesn't remember anything at the beginning of episode 4. And we have one who, if we believe it, he knows everything. So it's just kind of cool to think about. So let's see. There's another character, one more character that I wanted to mention. Actually, two. I had Palpatine listed and I don't even know what to say about him. He seems to be the embodiment of pure evil, honestly. And it is crazy. I'm assuming you've seen Rise of Skywalker by now, but it is crazy how he comes back. But I kind of have something more I want to talk about regarding that I'm going to get to here in a minute. But the other character, the last one I wanted to mention, is Bail Organa. So he is in the prequels, but not a lot. He kind of comes into play. He is also a senator, like Padme. He comes into play at the end of Revenge of the Sith when Padme has died and we have the twins that have just been born and we have Anakin who has turned to the dark side and has become the newest Sith apprentice to our new emperor and has become Darth Vader. And just so much happens at the end of this movie and just it changes everything. But at the end of the movie, Bail Organa is talking with Obi-Wan and they decide to split up the twins. So Luke goes to Tatooine where Obi-Wan watches over him and he goes to live with his aunt and uncle. And Leia goes home with Bail Organa and his wife. And it's so funny because Leia, in the movies, you don't really see any of her relationship with her parents. I mean, in A New Hope, basically her planet is blown up, like almost right off the bat. Alderaan is just blown up by the new Death Star. So there actually is a lot to learn about the Organas. They are mentioned in the book I just read. They are mentioned in Queen's Shadow. They actually have, during Queen's Shadow, Padme is a senator. Bail Organa is also a senator, and she goes to visit him and meet his wife, who is the Queen of Alderaan, which that's how Leia is a princess. And that book kind of talks about the Organas a bit. Another really good one where you can kind of see what Leia's teenage years were like is Leia, Princess of Alderaan, and talks a lot more about the Organas. But he's a small movie character in the movies, but he has a big role in the books and also in Clone Wars. And I haven't started watching Rebels much yet. I've seen like one or two episodes, but I know it takes place, I think between episodes 3 and 4. And I'm kind of curious to see. I know that they do go a little bit into Obi-Wan being on Tatooine and watching over Luke. So that should be interesting to see whatever they talk about there. But anyway, I kind of digressed. But Bail Organa, the Organas are some good characters. And I'm glad that we find out more about them in the TV shows and in the books. So if you haven't checked that out yet, another reason. So I think at some point I'm going to do a podcast after I finish these 11 movies and going through them. I think I'm going to do a podcast about what you miss out on, but some of the storylines, some of the things, the more deep dives into some of the characters that you miss out on by not reading the books, by not watching the Clone Wars, and kind of cover some of those things in more detail. So maybe you'll have that to look forward to. Now, so the biggest thing in this movie, in Revenge of the Sith, is that we find out exactly how Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader. And there's some stuff I want to unpack here. So one of them is the whole opera conversation scene with Anakin and Palpatine. And I think that that scene is very, very key. There's a conversation, obviously, Palpatine brings up Darth Plagueis, who you would assume the story that he's telling, that Darth Plagueis was potentially his Sith master. And it sounds like Palpatine was Plagueis' apprentice. So apparently Plagueis learned how. It's interesting what he says exactly, and it makes you wonder about something else, because Palpatine says that Darth Plagueis learned how to influence midichlorians to create life. And I know people have their whole hate of midichlorians and how they shouldn't have even been brought into the story and they were silly, whatever. But in Phantom Menace, they talk about midichlorians and how Anakin's number of midichlorians is off the charts, more than Yoda's. And it is interesting to think about how Palpatine's bringing this up now, because Anakin doesn't have a father. So he just had his mother, and she didn't seem to know how she got pregnant. And so Where's his father? Where did Anakin come from? And what Palpatine is saying here, there's some people that have this theory, and I think it could be possible Palpatine seems to indicate that Darth Plagueis knew how to create life, influenced midichlorians to create life, is what he says. And knowing that Anakin had this high number of midichlorians and he doesn't really have a father, it really makes you wonder, did Palpatine influence the Force or influence the midichlorians to create Anakin? Was this his plan from Anakin's conception, however it happened? Was this his plan all along? Was it this big, extravagant scheme to get to this point where Anakin was his apprentice? And it's just interesting. It's interesting to think about. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that there is a definitive answer out there. But Palpatine says that Darth Plagueis could save others from death, but not himself. And Anakin wanted to save Padme. He had these dreams of her dying, and that was his biggest motivation during this part of his life. He really loved her. He was scared she was going to die, and he didn't know what to do about it. And he didn't know how he could live without her. And so to find out that there was this possibility, this thread, that he could learn from the Sith and learn how to save her from dying was his biggest motivation. So that's one more thing to get him closer and closer to turning to the dark side and becoming a Sith. If the Sith can teach him how to save Padme, that's what he wanted. So, okay, again, going back into this whole thought of Anakin turning to the dark side. One thing that was brought up to me, this was a question, I never really got his thoughts on it, but a question from one of my followers at PGA Pro One, hi Dan, the question was it really Padme's death that made Anakin turn to the dark side? And I think that it's hard to say. I think that there's a lot of factors there, because I think that with Padme's death, he at that point felt like he had lost everything, because she was everything to him. And he had been frustrated with the Jedi and the Jedi Council, and he felt like they were against him because he loved her. They were against him because they were afraid of his power, which, you know, they didn't acknowledge it. They made him kind of feel bad about it. And they just kind of made him feel bad from the beginning. Like, I feel like the Jedi Council could have definitely handled Anakin way better. So he had a lot of frustration there, and he didn't have anybody to talk to about it, like I mentioned earlier, except for Palpatine, which, here's the Jedi Council not wanting to acknowledge his power, not wanting to make him a master, not wanting him to love Padme. And then here's Palpatine, who is saying, hey, you know, being a friend to him, saying, you know, hey, I know you have a lot of power. And saying, hey, there's maybe a way that you can save Padme. So it's kind of no wonder. I mean, and I think ultimately, honestly, what I will say, I think the very deciding factor, I don't know that, I think in a way, Padme's death kind of was indirectly the deciding factor to him turning to the dark side, because I think at that point he had lost everything. And he was most frustrated with himself because Padme died and he allowed her to die. And so at that point, he didn't have anything else. He didn't have anything to lose. It didn't matter if he became a Sith or not, because he's like, what the heck? He's like, I don't have anything else. I've lost Obi-Wan. I've lost Padme. You know, it's this big explosion at the end of this movie where things just change so dramatically. And in answer to the question, I think that indirectly, Padme's death was maybe a deciding factor, but I think it was his frustration with himself, and I think it was all of these other factors as well. So I think if he had had the support of the Jedi Council, if he felt like he had Obi-Wan's support to get through Padme's death, if he felt like he was actually even allowed to feel and to grieve Padme's death, then who knows? Maybe he could have been saved, but... So that's kind of my thoughts on that. Let's see. So the Obi-Wan and Anakin relationship, there's a scene in the movie. It's kind of, you don't realize it maybe at the time when you're watching it, but then knowing what happens later, it's kind of their final goodbye before they fight each other on Mustafar. And Obi-Wan calls Anakin old friend. And Anakin had, right before that, apologized to Obi-Wan. And he acknowledged, you know, how much he got from their friendship. And, you know, he appreciated his training. And he had just been frustrated with the council. And there's so much in that scene. It's just like, it's so frustrating because you can see they really respect each other so much. And then just like there's that explosion, like so much happens and everything changes. And then they're fighting each other to the death in this fiery duel at the end of the movie. And just Obi-Wan's line in that scene on Mustafar, you know, you were my brother, Anakin. You know, it's so emotional and painful to watch. And especially since I love that relationship so much, it's one reason I'm super excited to meet Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen together. But Obi-Wan, another thing in that scene, so at the very end, at the end of the movie where Anakin is basically fallen in the fire and he's burning alive and he's lost his legs and he's lost everything basically, and Obi-Wan could not bring himself to kill him. And you have to wonder, like, what was going through Obi-Wan's head at that point? He is thinking, he's like, Anakin's lost. I mean, was it a matter? It's like, why didn't he kill him? You really wonder, because was it just that he couldn't? He just could not bring himself to completely kill his brother? Because honestly, at that point, the guy's like on fire. He would have been putting him out of his misery. So I don't know. I'm curious what was going through Obi-Wan's mind at that time. He also took his lightsaber. Like, what was that about? I mean, we kind of know later on, I mean, that he had the lightsaber. He gave it to Luke. Was it a memento to Obi-Wan? He knew that Anakin had turned. He knew that you know, at this point, he wasn't going to be using that lightsaber anymore. So I don't know. It's just, there's a lot there. And the very end of the movie, like we know, we get Darth Vader. That scene where the new emperor, where Palpatine is, got all these people working on him, these droids working on him, and it's turning Anakin and his little, you know, his fiery almost death, and turning him into this part machine with this mask that we all come to know and love or hate or be afraid of or whatever, Darth Vader. And he, you know, Rise Vader, and Vader asks about, you know, his first thing. He's like, where's Padme? You know, is she okay? And Palpatine tells him no, that, you know, you killed her. And that brings you back to that point where Anakin, he's like lost it all at that point. And he's so frustrated, you know. Even before that, you can see how frustrated he is and just dealing with everything. At that point, he's just like, it's, you know, whatever. I lost Padme. I mean, that's it. I don't have anything else to live for, and I'm being kept alive, so why not? You know, I'm sure he had a lot of anger, you know. Fear leads to hate. Hate leads to anger. There's just so much. So, all right, that's the end of the movie. So that's the end of my thoughts. I've gone on for a long time. I just really, really love this movie. I think there's a lot that happens in it. There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot of really cool characters, a lot of really cool relationships. And it's definitely one of my favorites of the entire Skywalker saga and entire Star Wars film universe. So, again, there you go. There's my thoughts on Revenge of the Sith. I would love to hear your thoughts for next week on Solo, A Star Wars Story. That is the next live action film that is chronologically after Revenge of the Sith. So that's the one we're going to talk about next week. I know that's kind of a controversial one, so would definitely love to hear your thoughts on Solo. So if you would please go to anchor.fm/Jedi-fangirl and click on that button that says message, leave me a voice message, tell me what you think about Solo. If you don't want to do that, you can feel free to also email me at Cheryl, S-H-E-R-Y-L, at JediFangirl.com. Next week, we're going to be talking about Solo. And here in just a couple seconds, I'm going to be talking about some Star Wars news from this week. So thanks for joining. All right, here we go. Let's talk about some of the news in the Star Wars world this week. So obviously the biggest thing is that there was a new Clone Wars Season 7, the final season trailer dropped earlier this week. That is returning next month, and people have been anxiously awaiting for this trailer, and it was finally released this week. And it is really, really cool. There are some really cool things in it, some exciting things. We all kind of know, obviously, just talked about Revenge of the Sith here, so we kind of know what's coming. And we finally get the transition. What leads up to that? What happens to some of those characters, like Ahsoka, who we don't see in Revenge of the Sith? What happens? Where did she go? And why is she not in episode 3? And what happened to her? And what other things led up to that? So it'll be really cool to see some of these things. And I think I talked about earlier on in the podcast, it looks like this final season, actually, some of the things that happen in it will overlap a little bit with some of the things that happen in Revenge of the Sith. So that timeline, it sounds like, will kind of overlap. I mean, we saw, like I mentioned earlier, we saw this clip where you see Anakin and Padme, and Padme is obviously pregnant, and Anakin is there, so it looks like he knows. So either way, it will be really cool to see this final season, and I need to catch up some with the Clone Wars before it gets here. I know I won't make it through all of the episodes, and I'm kind of not even trying because, like I said, I'm kind of picking and choosing different story arcs to go back and watch. But there's still a few more of those stories that I want to kind of see more about. So I have a list of stories to go and watch those episodes to find out what happens there and find out more about the characters. So I'm kind of excited and looking forward to watching those, but also looking forward to season 7. I might actually watch it in real time as they appear on Disney Plus. So let's see what other news. Of course, I'm going to talk again about Ace Comic Con Boston in March. We have Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen both going to be there. I managed to book my dual photo op with both of them. It has been purchased, so I'm very excited about that. Another thing, so Ace has mentioned there's some things. I kind of find out most of my information about this con from a Facebook group that they have, and the people that run the con are in the Facebook group, and you can find out actually a lot of information from them in there because they do post and answer questions in there. So one thing that was announced, another thing for Ace Comic Con, so they are not getting any more A-list people really for this con that are Star Wars people. Ewan and Hayden are basically it, but they are doing a focus on Star Wars, and they're starting to get maybe some smaller guests. They're starting to get some local fan groups, Star Wars fan groups there. But they have this thing called Ace Central, which is where they are getting some smaller in quotes, other Star Wars celebrities, and they won't have like photo ops and autographs available like for Ewan and Hayden, like major celebrities that you have to book ahead of time and they, you know, that they might sell out of. But these are, you can get autographs and pictures and stuff that you can kind of buy there. So they have got Matthew Wood, who plays, well, who does the voice for General Grievous and has also won some awards, gotten some Oscar nominations for sound editing for Star Wars. So he's going to be there, and they're supposed to get, apparently, some more Star Wars guests for Ace Central, and there's some ones that I'd kind of like to see that I would be interested in seeing there. some Clone Wars involvement. I would love to see Dave Filoni or Ashley Eckstein. Would be really cool to meet them. Dave Filoni is kind of the creator of Clone Wars, also involved with Mandalorian. And Ashley plays Ahsoka Tano in the Clone Wars. So, yeah, I'd love to see some more of those guests like that. So I'm curious to see who they will announce who are coming. So another kind of small piece of news. it's not even really news. So last week there were some rumors going around. I don't even know how it really got started, but that this Kenobi series that's supposed to come out on Disney Plus that Ewan McGregor is involved with and working on, there was rumors that it got canceled. But this all kind of happened in one day on Twitter and people were losing it and going crazy. But the news is that it is not canceled. It is going on. It is going to happen. So that should be exciting. Obi-Wan's a great character and I'm excited to see a series about him. So that is all for my news for this week. Just wrapping up here again. Next week, we're going to be talking about Solo, A Star Wars Story. I'm very excited to discuss that movie. If you have some thoughts about it, please, again, go out to my Anchor page, the podcast page at anchor.fm/Jedi-fangirl. Click on that message button and you can leave me a message and I will potentially feature you on the podcast next week. Also, go check out my website, jedifangirl.com. I have a review up there recently of Master and Apprentice, the book that I finished not too long ago. And then also, coming soon, when I get a chance, like I said, I just finished Queen's Shadow this past week, so I'm going to write a review of it. And also, I do plan to write a review of the video game Jedi Fallen Order. I have that. I've played it a little bit. I kind of want to jump back in and play it some more before I write my review, but hopefully that will be coming soon. And I think that's all for this week. So thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for continuing to tune in and listen to me talk about Star Wars. That's it. May the Force be with you. Have a good week.